Appreciate an interest in your prayers this afternoon. Thankful for that friend in Jesus that we have. I'm thankful that he is there with us in every stage of life that we go through. Because we go through lots of stages in life. And each stage has its own set of blessings and its own set of challenges that we go through. As we look in the Word, the title is being written on the board is Life Decisions with Eternal Impact. Life Decisions with Eternal Impact. If you will turn with me to the book of John, we'll begin reading in the fifth chapter, John chapter 5 and verse 28. Thank you. Jesus was speaking and he said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, it is a key to understanding prophecy. There's a lot of different revelation prophecies about what's going to happen at the end of time. But whenever we start studying those prophecies, they always need to correlate with the simple teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus taught us something here that would destroy, if you will, a lot of prophetic teaching that's in our world today. Jesus said that the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And there's going to be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust that took place at the same time. And there was an eternal consequence based upon how they'd each lived their life. He said, those that have done good will be resurrected, the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. So it makes me very cognizant and of the importance this afternoon, every decision that we make, there is going to come a resurrection. And we're going to give an account of how we've lived our lives. Which means then, in a practical sense, when I'm making daily decisions in life, I need to recognize there's going to be an eternal impact to what I decide today. There's not just one opportunity that the Lord gives us before we die that, Lord, I want to serve you and I want to go to heaven, or I'm going to go the way of the world and go to hell. Our eternal destination is determined upon the daily decisions that we make. Ultimately, salvation. But if we are saved, and if our desire is to please God, it is going to change my decisions in life. And it's important and imperative for us this afternoon. My message is not just to the young people, but that's the greatest part of the burden, but it's for all of us. That every decision we make, we will make it with eternity in mind. Because it's going to have an eternal impact. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, many of you could quote it. Be not deceived, God is not what? God is not mocked. In other words, we're not going to be able to pull the wool over God's eyes. So be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So that's a comfort to us if we are sowing after the Spirit today. Well, there's another scripture, and this is laying a little foundation. In the book of Ephesians, in the fifth chapter, we are taught to walk circumspectly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Walk circumspectly and not as fools. Don't be ignorant of the time that we're living in. Redeeming the time because the days are what? Are those these days? These days are evil. Which means that my life decisions are going to have eternal impact. And the gospel and the disciples and the apostles were encouraging the congregations, wake up. Be aware of the decisions that you're making on a daily basis. Because if I choose life today, it should make a difference in how I live tomorrow. All right, so it would behoove us to look beyond the fork in the road. So I don't know what decisions you all have before you today. I know in that time of being a young person, you get out of high school and life is before you. I remember there was someone I got a recommendation from their teacher out of high school, and it said, life is their oyster. In other words, life is ahead. It's promising a bright outlook. But what decisions are we going to make? Are we going to get married or not? And if I decide I want to, who am I going to marry? And what am I going to do for a living? What am I going to do to provide, get an income? Where am I going to live? Do you realize the answer to those questions? The answer to that is going to have an eternal impact on us. It's very important, the answer to those questions. And it can be difficult sometimes. I wish, if we can make one trip to the altar and get all of our questions answered, and then go and do it. But that's normally not how life works. The Lord leads us and guides us, but He has given us His Word. And the Spirit of the Lord will never, okay, I'm going to repeat it again, okay? The Spirit of the Lord will never lead us separately or differently from what the Word of God teaches. A minister I knew where I used to, actually I was in Shawnee, Oklahoma at the time pastoring. In another minister of another group there, I remember him saying that he had gotten his life in a mess. And he said, the Lord showed me that it was okay. That's what he told his congregation. The Lord revealed to me that what I'm doing is okay. Folks, God will never reveal to us that something is all right if it's condemned in the Word of God. If the Word of God is our guide, which it ought to be, the Spirit of the Lord will always work in conjunction with His Word. So there is some instruction that lays a foundation for a lot of the life decisions that we're faced with. We'd like to address a few of those this afternoon, and there'll be a whole lot more that won't be addressed. But one of those is marriage. One of the most consequential decisions that one can ever make, to marry or not to marry. Satan has a con game going on. And he's used it for centuries, and that is for believers to think it's okay to marry unbelievers. Or to justify that. The Word of God has a lot to say about that. It lays a strong, unequivocal foundation in the Old Testament on that subject. Let's just read over in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. He said, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved. If someone profanes the holiness of the Lord that they love, that's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? Those are strong words. So what is it that caused them to profane the Lord? He goes on to tell us. He said, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar. Now we're not talking about just the common man. The master. Those that are at the pinnacle of religious practice and teachers of the law. If they profane the love that they have for God in marrying a daughter of a strange god, he said, I will cut them off, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. In other words, those that have been bringing sacrifices to the Lord, if they marry someone that worships a strange god, he said, I will cut them off. Now you may sit there and think, now that's a little strong. I'm just reading to you what was written in the Word of God. This is Old Testament. But the Old Testament teaching on this subject follows through in the New Testament. The problem here was marrying someone that was in idolatry. Now, there's a lot of scriptures on this subject, and through the generations, sometimes they have been twisted and misused. The scripture teaches us as well that the children of Israel were not to marry people of other nations. Is that right? That had nothing to do with the language they spoke. It had nothing to do with the color of skin they had. It had nothing to do with their race, but it had everything to do with their God. He wanted the Jewish people, the Israelites, were a people that were set apart to worship God exclusively, and he gave firm commandments. I don't want you dabbling with idolatry. Marriage is the most intimate of all human relations. And if my heart and my desire is to please God, and I love him with all of my heart, how then is it compatible to join myself to a woman that does not believe in God? That does not have a common faith in what the Bible teaches? How can I say, I love you, Lord, more than anything else, and yet enter into a relationship that is closer than any other relationship aside from God, and it's to a person that is not serving God with all of their heart? Do you see where that's incompatible?
That's right.
This is biblical. So then when, and I made a purpose when I actually moved from Oregon to Oklahoma and was at Oklahoma State, and I made a purpose. I don't want to marry someone, number one, that is not in the faith. But the decision didn't stop there. There were opportunities that where I was living, the guys I was living with, had opportunities to go make friends of the girls of the world. And so I thought, okay, I love the Lord most. I don't want to marry someone that doesn't love God with all of their heart. And so that's going to start affecting other decisions in my life. So when the guys would go over to the girls' dorms, I'm not going. Would anything been sinful in and of itself? The answer to that is no. But I knew that it could have eternal impact. Because things don't, it didn't, wouldn't be that I woke up one morning and say, this is a wonderful looking girl. She's a nice girl. And so you start a relationship. You think, but I'm not going to marry him. That's where it starts though. And so I was taught when I was young, and it's still true today, don't look twice. Because we need to have some firm standards in our heart and mind, recognizing my soul is in my hand. And so the decisions I make, I want them to be compatible with where I want my eternal destiny to be. Well, but they love me. You heard that? They love me. I know that they're not there right now. They don't serve God, but we love each other, and they have promised. They have promised to be open-minded about it. They promised to maybe go to services with me. And they, saints, let's get hold of some right here. There are mission fields in this world. Amen?
Yes.
But marriage is not one of them.
Right.
Marriage is not a mission field. Well, I think I can bring them to Christ. Let someone else bring them to Christ, and you keep your soul in check.
Yes.
In other words, the decisions you make, be very, very careful.
Right.
Because the enemy, he has a way of drawing us in.
Right.
Our emotions get involved and our feelings get involved. So we need to make a firm decision before we let our emotions go out.
Right. Yes.
Set some fixed standards in our lives. Well, some say, well, I'm going to pray about it. When I go to the store and see something I want and don't have money for it, well, I'm going to pray about if I can steal it or not. Would that make a lot of sense? My prayer ought to be, Lord, give me the strength not to steal it. But I know I'm not supposed to steal. I know what the Bible teaches me. This is a very similar situation. I know what the Bible teaches. So I don't need to say and use an excuse, and young people, just file it away. Just file it away. When the enemy comes and says, well, maybe you need to pray about it. I don't have to pray about it.
That's right.
Because I already read about it.
That's right.
So my prayer is, Lord, help me to submit to what the Word says. But I already know what God's will is in this. So then we pray for the Lord to give us grace to submit. Is that clear enough this afternoon? I just want to share with you, I say at home, we're all home folks, all right? So if this is your first time, you are now home folks. This is where we live. So, Lord help us. The decision should be unequivocal because it's a life decision that has eternal impact. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. With unbelievers. I think that's sufficient, isn't it?
Yes.
How can you be, someone say, well, we're not yoked, but is not marriage the yoke of all yokes? That marriage is the yoke of all yokes. I know he was speaking about joining themselves with idolaters, but that's what we're talking about right now as well. Someone that God is not preeminent in their life. The scripture is clear. Do not be yoked with them because I can't commune with them. I can't compromise my holiness and my purity as a God and then mix with idolatry. And so then when I start praying and looking to the Lord about marriage, may the Lord help us to recognize that is a decision that's going to determine to a large extent where you're going to end up in eternity. Solomon, in his old age, what happened to his heart? He was turned away from God because of who? Because of his wives. You say, well, I'm just talking about one. But tell you, one will do the same thing. See, it doesn't always have to happen overnight. And I know that maybe you can point to some people that it turned out okay. But you know what? That was an exception. If it did, that was an exception. Because what generally happens is we get on a downward path. I have other priorities in life, and so I want to please my wife, and I maybe don't agree with what she's doing, but I love her, and I want her to know I support her, and before long, I will find myself supporting her in things that God is not pleased with. And so we need to make some decisions prior to that time. I want to be careful who I open up my heart to when we start seeking a companion. Life decisions with eternal impacts. Monarch is a really good place to find a companion. You know that? This is where I found mine. I know we were in the old tabernacle, but I was sitting on the edge over here, and I was only 5 years old. And on the way home, I wrote a little note to who is now my wife, and I said, will you marry me? I cried because my mom and dad wouldn't let me send it. So I had to wait a few years. Marriage, Monarch's a good place to find a marriage companion. But this is the truth. Just because they're at Monarch does not mean they're compatible. Just because they're here doesn't mean that they're serving the Lord. I'm glad they're here. But well, they're at Monarch. They're fair game. No, they're not. People sometimes say, I'm going to go play the field. No, pray the field.
That's right.
Get on your knees and seek God to guide you with this within the parameters of what the Bible teaches. Amen.
Amen.
Better to go through life single than to marry outside of the will of God. And I commend those that have made that choice.
Yes.
I commend those. It doesn't mean they are less worthy to be loved. It doesn't mean that they are less intelligent or less attractive or less anything like that. It means they made a priority that, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what the cost. And I'm going to put you first. And so I commend those that have made that decision to not marry because they didn't want to marry outside of the will of God. Let's move on just a little bit. Like I put this has an S. That means there's more than one. Life decisions. What happens before marriage is relationships. Be careful of your relationships. We live in an environment with technology that there is so much ease of communication. It's so easy to communicate. And while I would like to say this was focused to the unmarried, you realize it applies to everybody? Be careful. Be careful about communication, because being just friends has caused a lot of damage to people spiritually. Because there can get relationships that are formed, and you say, well, we understand it's just friends, but then emotions start getting involved. There starts to be expectations from people when you start having a lot of contact with them. Let's be aware of the relationships that we have, that they are going to have eternal impact. Like I said, there is so much that could be said about these issues, but walls and barriers are getting too quickly broken down with the ease of communication. Because when I was courting my wife, it was still a letter written. And so it took quite a while to get back and forth. And you couldn't afford to talk on the phone because it cost. It used to cost. But now, and I left my phone down there, but now, then the email. But now it's texting. And now there's all these other avenues of communication. And let's just say it like it is, all right? Barriers are getting broken down between the genders that ought not to get broken down. Relationships are moving a little bit too quickly before there's time to really get to know who this person is and their values, because there starts to be so much quick communication. It goes so fast that sometimes I believe the Lord's getting left behind just a little bit. So let's just be careful. Take the caution and recognize that relationships lead us somewhere. And they're going to have eternal impact on my soul. I've seen what it's done in others. And Darrell Wilkins, I know he's related to maybe some here. He used to race motorcycles. And I remember something he used to tell us when we were boys. He said when he was in a race and he was in the lead, he'd actually slow down just a little bit, let someone pass him when they got to a tight place. And he would watch and see how they navigated that place. And if they made it, he'd follow their example. And if they crashed, he'd do something differently. He recognized that sometimes when we're younger, we think, oh, I've got it figured out, and I can handle it. Mom and Dad, I know your concerns. I understand, but I'm aware. I'm in control. And Mom and Dad are sitting there thinking, but we've watched people do this before. We've seen the outcome. So the instruction for us is be willing to take some counsel and advice and caution. It's not always about this is sin and this is not sin. It's about how it's going to affect you down the road. And when someone says, I watched someone do it and this is where they ended up, I'm interested in that. So Lord, help us to have open hearts to receive counsel that have been down some of these roads before. Look beyond the fork in the road, in other words, in the decisions we're making. All right. What am I supposed to do? Just graduated from high school, need a job, need to make some money. Do I go to college? Do I go to trade school? Do I start working immediately? What do I do? Those are difficult times. Those can be tough times to make those decisions. But you realize there's some things we should take into account as we pray for the Lord to lead us in those things. Because normally speaking, the Lord is not going to come down in a cloud in the night, in a ball of fire in the night, and say, my son, you are to be a plumber. And I was like, oh, I was thinking about being an electrician. The Lord generally doesn't work that way. See, He has given us desires and abilities and tendencies, and He will work with those things. He gave us a brain, and He wants us to use it. In other words, we don't check our brain at the door when we come into service. We don't check our brain at the door when we're seeking God for counsel and advice and leadership. The Lord gave us that to use. So He respects a lot of the preferences that we have. As long as it does not violate my soul's condition. So if I'm looking at a career or a profession that I can't take God with me on the job, I need to change jobs. If it's taking me in a place that I am compromising my integrity, I need to change jobs and do something else because the Lord ought to be paramount in our lives. So see, the Lord is very interested in what we do with our life. There are some jobs that will suck us up. They'll tie us up and it will deny us the ability to follow hard after the things of God. As children of God, our priority should be, Lord, I want to put you first in my life. And if there is a job that is going to disallow my putting God first in my life, it means I need to start making some adjustments. And we act, people act so helpless. I don't know what to do. Have you heard that? People say, I am just so busy. I don't know what to do. I understand that kind of that feeling. But you know, there's some answers to that. Learn to say no. Learn to say yes to God. When we find that a job is taking us away from doing the things that God has called us to do, it means we need to adjust the job, not adjust what God is calling us to do. Because it's going to have an eternal impact on our soul. What about where we live? Does it matter where we live? I can't turn in the Bible and it says, for each one of us, it says, Brother Dan, thou shalt live in Webb City. You say, that would make it easy, but he didn't do that. But again, he gave us guidelines, did he not? Well, the Lord's interested in where we live because where we live is going to make a difference in where we worship. Isn't it? So then, is it up to me just to go find some church down the road because I'm a believer and I just find a church that's maybe close to what I believe? Is that God's will? Do you know there's scripture that deals with that? We'll get to that in a moment. But there's a scripture in the book in Hebrews chapter 10 that says, let us consider one another. Let's consider. Let's think about this. And let's provoke one another to love and to good works. And then it said something else. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, the day is approaching. There's going to be a resurrection. And it makes a difference in my life where I choose to live. Now, there have been isolated saints, and if you are an isolated saint here this afternoon, I am glad that you are assembling yourselves together. But I want to tell you, it's difficult to be outside of the fellowship of God's people. It's difficult because we are under someone's influence. We're under the influence of something. And when we come together as a body of believers, whether we be 5 or 50 or 100 or more, there is something that we draw from one another that helps us keep our priorities and helps us keep our focus on what this is all about. We need that in this generation. So if I choose and say, I'm going to follow a job opportunity that takes me away from where a congregation is, and then the devil comes in and says, well, aren't you limiting yourself to live where you can worship? Aren't you limiting yourself? What am I limiting myself with? Because, see, I want to make it to heaven. So I might, yes, I might limit my job, but I'm expanding my soul's opportunity to be in a place where I can fellowship with God's people. And again, I'm not saying it's wrong to be isolated. Please understand the balance of this afternoon. But especially in raising a family. Especially in raising a family. I want my children to be in a place that they fellowship and they hear truth and they see truth and they know truth. And if I choose to live outside of that opportunity, will it not have an eternal impact? So Lord, give us wisdom as we consider these things. So who are we supposed to fellowship? Anybody? If they name the name of Christ, it's all right. I'd like to know if they name the name of Christ, number one, have they departed from iniquity? I'd like to know what they're teaching. I want to know how they're living their life. And so there's a scripture that deals with it in Revelation 18, verse 4. He said, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Babylon. He's talking about church organizations that have not embraced the fullness of the Word and the fullness of the Spirit. Because it's mixed. You say, but they're good people. I thank the Lord there's good people in Babylon. You say, but they're teaching a lot of truth. But you realize it's more deceptive to be where there's 90% truth and 10% error. Because after you get involved in that, it causes you to start being a little more confused about what's right and wrong. And it has a way of drawing us in. The message of the Word of God was, come out of her, my people, and be ye separate. That doesn't mean that we don't reach out. We extend our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one. But I cannot today extend my hand in fellowship to every Christian organization. See, there's a difference there. The scripture says to come out of that. So when we begin making decisions in our life of where to live and where to attend services, and we say, well, there's some of the saints aren't around, so I will just go out and look for someone that maybe is close. I want us to remember what the Word of God says. Be careful about dabbling with Babylon this afternoon. Because you end up with the smell of smoke. And eventually, doesn't happen overnight usually, but eventually it has eternal impact. If not on me, then on my spouse, on my children, on my family, and others that I'm in fellowship with. So let's measure it all to the Word of God. We'll be done shortly here. Another decision that we want to just touch on briefly, life decisions. How we raise our children. The scripture says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in what? In the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Does that mean we can raise saints? We cannot raise saints. The only way for someone to be a saint is to pass through the blood of Jesus. It does not come by anything that I can make them do or impose upon them. Salvation is of God and God alone. And yet, when we teach our children these fundamental truths of the Word of God, they still have a choice. They can still choose to walk away. But if they do, there's going to be something deep in their heart that they will never be able to escape from. Raise them, train them, teach them in the ways they should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. He can't escape it. Because it's seared there in his mind and in his heart. And I know how I was taught. So we are living in a generation out in the world. And I dare say its tentacles are starting to reach down into too many families of people that love God. God has called us with responsibility to be parents, to teach our children. Lord, help us not to sit back with our children and fold our arms and say, well, I'm going to let them make their own decisions. Yes, when they get older and there's going to be some times that there's a little give and take there. But when they're young and growing up and under your roof, understand that their children are in your charge to make decisions for them, that your home would be a refuge and not just, well, my child, I don't want a difficulty, so I'm just going to let them go live how they want, listen to what they want, watch what they want, wear what they want, act like they want, because I just don't want a problem and I'm going to show them the love of God. The love of God as a parent is teaching them and instructing them. Amen? Yes. See, these are life decisions with eternal impact. Right. Yes, that's true. There is David over in Psalm 101, verse 2. He said, I will behave myself wisely. Yes. Psalms 101, verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Yes. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Life decisions with eternal impacts. What are we feeding on in our homes? What are we feeding on? Because what we feed on is what we will become. So let's consider the eternal impact of these things this afternoon. Remember over in Joshua as we close. Remember in Joshua where the challenge went out, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And it came back down. He said, as for me and who? My house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I would that that be our purpose and our desire. So 1 Corinthians 10, last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. The scripture says all things are lawful. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I believe in essence this is what Paul was talking about. There's life decisions with eternal impact. And everything is not always about, well, can I do it and still be saved at the moment? He's saying, you know what, might be lawful, but look beyond the fork in the road and see how it will impact you spiritually down the road. And that means that's going to make a difference in my choices that I make today. Let's choose wisely today. May the Lord give us discernment. He will guide us with His Spirit, but He has given us some landmarks and parameters and standards in His Word that will guide us and help us to stay in a safe place. Thank you all for your attention. May God bless you.